in our reading from Ezekiel, we hear this theme pronounced by the Lord. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Now think in the Lord's Prayer how Jesus taught us that we are to hallow the name of God, that God's name is to be sanctified. And of course, there are many ways in which we both see his name profaned and his name sanctified. But one of the primary ways that this happens is through people. The way in which we speak, the way in which we act, the way in which we live our lives either profanes God or sanctifies God. And one of the great parts of our tradition is that we celebrate men and women whom we call saints. And of course, the word saint comes from the same word as sanctify, which comes from the same word that we get the word holy. And so the saints are those people who in their lives understood the call of God, that God longs for his name to be sanctified, for his name to be hallowed. And indeed, in the gospel that we heard today, Jesus in this parable tells the story of the people of God. And the slaves of the prophets sent one after another after another, where the prophets were saying to the people, sanctify the name of God. And they said, no, we can't be bothered. We have other things that are more important. To the point that he sends his son. And in this story, there's also the anticipation of the destruction of Jerusalem that will happen between the year 67 and 70 AD, within a generation of the time that Jesus gave this parable. And the point we want to hear in all of this is that now is the day. Today is the time acceptable to God where we are to make his name holy. In the 12th century, a man who understood this with great clarity was Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Now, he was born in a castle. He was born into a family of means, of wealth. But in his late teens and early 20s, he heard the voice of God say to him, Bernard, sanctify my name. And at the age of 22, he entered the monastic community at a place called Citeaux. But then he sensed that God was calling him to establish a new community of Cistercians, which he did at Clairvaux. At the age of 25. And from the time he was 25 until his death in 1153, at the age of 63, he was the abbot of Clairvaux. So inspiring was the way he lived his life that all of his brothers entered into the monastic community. Indeed, so did his uncle, and even eventually his father. And he had one sister who was very worldly. And after a period, she too understood that she was to sanctify the name of God, and she entered into the community. Now, the thing you need to know about Saint Bernard is he was not someone without challenges or faults. Supposedly, he had quite the temper and was also a man who had such exacting expectations for his own life that he expected that of others in a way that, well, came across as being very harsh. And so one of the things that he knew he had to work on throughout his own life in order to sanctify the name of God was to cultivate and ask for a more gentle spirit. He was a man who, according to our emeritus Pope Benedict XVI, when at one of his Wednesday audiences in 2008 spoke of Saint Bernard, he said this, St. Bernard focused on the truth that God, who is love, created mankind out of love, and that man's salvation consists of hearing firmly to divine love. You know, the parable and the man who is not dressed in the wedding garments, one of the ways we can see what that is about is the person who does not adhere to love. That he thinks, ah, I can come into the wedding banquet just on my own terms. But here Bernard understands that the divine love which is to be inspiring our lives, is only revealed in the crucified Christ. He, St. Bernard, was a man of deep contemplative prayer, but he was also a man known for his ability to preach and to inspire others. Repeatedly, he was asked to become a bishop, but he refused the request. And he was known as well for his deep devotion to Our Lady. And it's through St. Bernard that the Memorare, which is such a central part of our devotional life, was formed and became common in the church. He was also someone who consulted popes and helped to ward off a schism in the church in the year 1130. Again, referring back to what Pope Emeritus Benedict said in 2008, he said these following words. Pope Benedict referred to what Pope Pius VIII had said when he labeled St. Bernard the honey-sweet doctor. What a lovely way to think about sanctifying the name of God. That there'd be something about the way we live our lives that, well, is honey-sweet. And so he, the honey-sweet doctor, was known for his eloquence as he, St. Bernard, traveled throughout Europe defending the faith. Pope Benedict also said he was remembered as the doctor of Mariology, not because he wrote extensively on Our Lady, but because he understood her essential role in the church, presenting her as the perfect model of the monastic life and of every other form of the Christian life. Indeed, we could say of Our Lady that she is the one who sanctifies the name of God completely. St. Bernard understood our Lord's teaching in today's gospel parable that we cannot just presume on the grace of God, like the one who thought he could get into the banquet any old way. Rather, you and I are called to live purposeful lives of loving devotion. And let me conclude by referring back to our reading from Ezekiel, where the Lord says through his prophet, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, so that you will follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances." St. Bernard had that heart of flesh and had such a love for God that he followed his ways, his commandments, and his ordinances. May we pray for such a heart. May we desire to never profane the name of God, but to sanctify his name, because he is holy and deserving of such hallowed honor and respect.